Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Oh, we've got a wonderful show in store for you today with a very special returning guest in studio with me today. And you guys know how much I love having people in studio because then I can always take the Facebook live stream camera and flip it around to them and you'll get to see them. But a wonderful human being. I'm really glad he's in studio with me today. I hope you'll like him. And the peeps are piling on the Facebook live stream. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Ta, for tuning in. You're going to love this show. Okay, let's get started with our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham so we can get the show moving. First, from the universe. If somebody wants A to happen, yet they prepare for B, they will always get B. Prepare for A, the universe. Ah, we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Talking about, basically, we get what we prepare for, right? If we prepare for good stuff, we get good stuff. If we prepare for disaster, we get disaster. Doesn't that mean that we can prepare for good stuff and not necessarily get a disaster? Because I think what the universe is trying to get at here, it's not so much the physical preparation. It's not about the planning. It's not about the logistics. It's not really about that. It's about how are we preparing inside ourselves, in our heart? Are we really prepared to succeed at what we're working on? Are we prepared to have the attention that comes with that? Are we prepared to live a different life, to change, to metamorphosize into a new you? Or are we merely preparing to stay the same? Are we merely preparing internally to not feel any different, not experience anything different, not allow anything different into our lives? Because the more we prepare for change, the more we prepare ourselves to just welcome what life is going to bring us, the more life can bring us. But if we prepare to just keep doing the same old thing, keep being the same, then that's what we're going to get, more of the same. Oh, interesting quote from the universe. I don't think we've had one quite like this before. All right, let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. From Abraham, the thoughts you think relative to money, relationships, home, business, or every subject cause a vibrational environment that brings to you the people and circumstances that surround you. Everything that comes to you is about what you've got going on vibrationally. And what you've got going on vibrationally is usually because of what you are observing. It does not have to be. Abraham. So this is, I guess very much in alignment with the first quote about, the thoughts we think, the feelings we feel, the vibrations we give off, right? These are what attracts things to us. But to really get down to what is it that causes us to feel that way, to vibrate that way, to have that kind of energy in our system really comes down to what are we focusing on. And this is something I learned from Abraham a long time ago, and those of you who've been tuning into the show for a long time, you know I'm really big on focus. Because if we are focusing on what's wrong with our life, we're going to feel depressed, we're going to feel sad, we're going to just not feel good, and that merely allows more not feeling good stuff into our life. And even if there is only one thing in our lives that's great or good or makes us feel wonderful, if we keep our focus purely on that one thing, we feel better. And because we feel better by focusing on that one thing, it's like we open our arms up to the universe and say, thank you very much. I'll have some more, please. And then the energy that we emit attracts more good stuff to us. I mean, just think about it in very practical terms. What kinds of people do you like to hang out with? I mean, do you like to hang out with sad, depressed, you know, people who just like marinate in their misery? Or do you like to hang out with people who are lively and bubbly and they joke around and they have just a wonderful energy about them, right? We all love to hang out with those kinds of people. But do you think those kinds of people are going to hang out with you if you're like moping and, you know, talking about all these things that are wrong with your life? No, of course not. But the more you match their energy, the more uplifting you are, the more inspired you are, the more energetic you are, like they're going to be drawn to you the same way you're drawn to them. That principle goes not just for people, it goes for everything in our lives. And that's what Abraham is trying to say here. Our focus determines how we feel and what we think about. And it doesn't matter whether it's money, relationships, business, finances, politics. Doesn't matter what it's about. Now, look, are we saying like you should ignore like, you know, all the challenges we have in the world? No, absolutely not. We don't ignore them. But instead of just focusing on what the problem is, we focus on finding the solution. What feels better to you? Just talking about what's wrong or talking about ways to solve what's wrong? It's a subtle difference. It's a subtle inflection, but it makes all the difference in the world. By focusing not on what's wrong, but on how to move in the direction that brings it more into alignment with a better way of being, that is what changes our energy. That's what changes our thoughts, our feelings, and allows us to bring more solutions, more of the good stuff, more of the good people into our lives. So, two wonderful, wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham, and I think actually pretty apropos for who we have in studio today. And wow, we got a bunch of more Facebook Live viewers. Thank you, Joe, Narissa, Leia, Lauren. Welcome to the show. Hey, Ta, great to have you, Susan. Always wonderful to have you. Excuse me a moment while I switch the camera around so I can introduce to you this handsome gentleman here. A wonderful, wonderful human being who goes by the name Itzhak Beery, who is an Israeli native, but he has been a New York-based shamanistic practitioner for over, what, 25 years?
21.
21 years. And he conducts healing ceremonies. He teaches workshops in the States, in Europe, Israel, Hawaii, all over the place. He even leads trips to Brazil. He's apprenticed extensively with many amazing healers from South America, such as Don Jose Joaquin Pineda, an Ecuadorian Quechua. Right? Quechua, did I say that right?
Quechua.
Yachak In his own family. I'm not going to try and pronounce all these names because I'm just going to butcher them. But let's just say that, he has studied with many indigenous elders and has really has a very, very solid foundation in something that sometimes gets bantied around a little superficially. Itzhak is also, many of you might know him, as the co-founder of the New York Shamanic Circle. He's a member of the Society of Shamanic Practitioners and the Foundations for Shamanic Studies. And just so you know, the New York Shamanic Circle, it's also a meetup group, and I noticed there are over 1,100 members of that group, and it's been active for how long?
20 years.
20 years. Wow. So, you know, and many of you know I'm in training for facilitating shamanic work. I've met many people. There are not too many people. There are one or two, but not too many people I know have as much experience as Itzhak does. So, you know, when Itzhak talks, I listen. And, you know, I've had him twice on the show before, once with John Lockley, yeah, Sangoma from Africa, South, and once not too long last year for what was the prior book you came?
I think for my previous book.
Yeah, which was the previous book?
Shamanic Transformation.
Right, Shamanic Transformations. But he's back on today for us to talk about his new book, Shamanic Healing. And so we're not going to go into the usual background stuff. You guys are just going to have to trust me. This guy knows his stuff. So let's just get right into the new book.
So
why another new book? This is your third book or something? Your fourth
book? That's my third book.
Third book.
Yeah.
You must have a lot to say.
Well, I actually wanted to write everything I know and everything I experienced in that book.
Mm-hmm.
But this book is unique in the sense that it has a lot of information, mm-hmm. A lot of the teachings, the techniques, and I give generously all the techniques that I use, not all, but most of them, so people can actually use them at home.
Right.
But I also tell 30 stories of healing and how I use these techniques in my practice.
Okay.
So people can actually see it's not just the stories, because in the stories I describe the techniques, the emotions, the tools that I use, so they people can actually see how it all of this works.
So it's like each story is a real teaching story of like how you applied the different things, all your different bits of knowledge in different situations and circumstances.
Yes. Yeah, because I think that sometimes people really don't understand what soul retrieval is and what can it do, or how can you use a Bacardi or a Traga or sea salt or sulfur or eggs or all of those tools, how can you use them to actually heal yourself and other people? But in the stories, I tell the stories of the healing, but I also explain the scientific reasoning for using these tools. It's not just an egg. Why do we use eggs? Why do we use salt? Why do we use certain plants and herbs? And why do we use smoke? I mean, well, many people in this community using smudging. Sage, but they don't understand why do we use sage. Sage is used to kill bacteria.
Yeah, so, I saw that recently. They did some study, and it kills all kinds of microbes in the air.
Yes, you see, so a lot of the shamanic teachings, the shamanic healing methods, are based on scientific experience and spiritual experience. So they all come together. It's not just the physical, because every physical have a spiritual reasoning source, and so that was very important for me, and for me personally, is to understand if I use egg, why egg?
Right.
Egg is a symbol of life. Everything comes from an egg, from the cell. So it has a spiritual meaning, but it also have physical importance.
Right, the scientific background. Yeah, it sometimes, like I know with Eastern medicine and with these more traditional indigenous techniques and things that we use, we forget that they've evolved over thousands and thousands of years. And so, like the shamans of South America, they may not have had the scientific tools that we do today to be able to analyze the chemical compositions and all the things, but they had sort of the practical experience of using this herb or using this thing in this way. helped, and then they were repeated, and so over time you're able to see it was obvious.
I think that it's very important because what the shamans in the Andes has, or anywhere, is reputation.
Right.
If you come to the shaman and you are sick and he's able to cure you, that means that he's a powerful shaman. Right. So he's not going to use tools that does not work. It throughout thousands of years, generations, they perfected tools that actually work. Right. And we look at it as a magical, because we don't understand the extent of their healing power. Mm-hmm. But this is tools and ceremonies and rituals that was done for thousands of years with generations of shamans that have a proof that they work.
Right, exactly.
But they have also spiritual
and
scientific reasoning. And I disagree that the shaman don't understand the scientific reasoning of it. They know, because when they see that the chicken lay on the egg, they understand that the egg shell is full of pores, and that's how the chick is born, and that there is breathing, right? So there is a correlation between the carbon emission and the heat and the oxygen, and that's what really when we pass the egg on people's body, we actually do what the chicken does. And so the way they look at science is a little different than what we do.
Right. Yeah, no, I not that they don't have science, so they didn't have the modern technology to analyze things, but they had their own ways of analyzing and understanding. So we're going to take our first break. Welcome Jackie, Brad, Priya, Liana, Craig, Jane. Oh my God, lots of people watching today. Welcome. Don't forget, if you guys have questions, if you're watching the Facebook live stream, just type it right in the comments fields. You can ask a question of myself or Itzhak. If anyone wants to call in, the call-in number is 877-480-4120. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with shamanic healer and practitioner extraordinaire, Itzhak Beery. So during the commercial break, you guys missed this, we're in studio here. Itzhak brought up about, you know, the quotes of the day and the importance of intention and sort of the importance of that in the shamanic work. And I wanted him to just kind of repeat that, because it really, really is an important aspect of shamanic work. And this is something that I've known for a while, that even like the intention that the shaman uses behind picking the plants and doing something, like that energy, it carries through to the healing, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's really very important. You know, most of my training was to to be an assistant or apprentice of Jose Joaquin Pineda and Ipopiara. So for them, they never really explained, like, you know, like most teaching, shamanic teaching now, you know, you have a workshop and they explain this and they explain that. And I'm guilty of that too, because I teach people too. But I had this fortune or not fortune to be apprentice, and a lot of it is by reprimanding me for not being paying attention and not having the intention and the concentration. So it's really so important. It's to hold intention to your healing, to choose the plants, to choose. It's the intention that you put in the crystal or in the way you blow the trago, the alcohol on the person, or use the fire. It's not just the tool itself, it's the intention behind the usage of that.
Right.
And in many ways, that's what the client gets, you know. Right. He gets your energy with the intention. So it's very important to, when you are working, not to do it automatically, not to do it from just a new agey type of way. It's just to really concentrate and bring the intention of healing, the purpose of that, to the client.
Right. So I do want to bring up that in this book, you kind of get a little bit personal in this book.
Yeah.
And I learned something I didn't know about you, that you were an ad guy before you got into all this work, weren't you?
Yes. I had my own advertising agency in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
We were a small boutique, very creative. We won a lot of awards, which was very important for me. Creative awards, marketing awards. You know, it was for a long time, it bothered me as I progressed into the shamanic work. It really bothered me that here I am doing commercial, the devil work. and I'm doing shamanic work. So when I was when I traveled with John Perkins to the Amazon, and with the Shuar people, we did a ayahuasca ceremony, and the plants were telling me that the work of the shaman and the work of advertising people are very much the same.
Interesting.
It's very interesting, because I always separated between the work of the advertising, but. And the work of the shaman, but both advertising people and shamans, they have to make sure that they are working to manifest the dreams of their clients.
Okay.
We have to understand the fears, the motivation of our clients. We have to provide them with the hope, with well-being. And so when you are buying detergent, you're not just buying the detergent, you're buying the promise with that.
Right,
and
right.
You're
the brand
also buying
and the story behind it.
You're buying also your fear of dirt and other things. So and they are both advertising and shamanic practitioners are really thinking out of the box. They never really take the cage part of our life. And so they are very creative. They are innovators. They are they are community leaders in many ways.
Right.
So there is and you can see that a lot of people in the advertising community are gravitating to shamanic work. And I have quite a lot of people who have done that. And so I think that there is no difference. It's just again going back to the intention. What are you using it for? So when I came from the Amazon, I got really confused about all of that. But I set up intention not to do any kind of consumer work. I really did more work with nonprofit organizations and corporations and organizations that are helping other people. And I think that that's really very important, is to set up your intention
right.
to what are you using your energy for. And how you fulfilling other people's dream in a way that is not manipulating them or using them in the wrong way, but in a good way. And
right,
I think that that's all we do.
Right, because there is a difference between, let's say, influencing somebody and manipulating somebody. So, like, if let's say you have a client and they don't believe that they can heal from whatever issue they're with, like, we need to find a way to kind of convince them that this is possible. And that's very different than somebody who, let's say, sees some ad and they think, like, I have to buy this expensive cologne in order to get a beautiful woman. That's a very different kind of manipulation.
Yes, exactly. So you work on the fear of the of masculinity, the
right of loss,
you know, the loss of masculinity is it's to get the purchase instead of finding what the hero within the person is. It may not need the car, they may not need the cologne, but it may need self-esteem or other experiences. So it goes back to the intention. What's your intention? It's not really the tools,
right?
Like we said before, it's the intention that you put behind it.
Right, exactly, exactly. So you have in your book, you know, stories about helping people with all kinds of conditions, PTSD, cancer, depression, chronic pain.
Yeah.
Do you have maybe one story that you can think of off the from the book that you can think of off the top of your head that might be a good sort of illustration of application of, like, the intention with the tool and how that helped somebody?
I mean, there are some people who are using this egg,
the
technique that I'm using and many other healers.
So what is the egg technique?
So the egg is the largest cell in nature.
Okay.
And it made out of the structure of the egg is very much like the earth itself.
Right.
We have the core, and then we have the atmosphere, and then we have the shield or the shell around that. And that, like our atmosphere, it's all porous, so it can bring release the toxins and receive oxygen. And so it's a breathing being.
Organism.
And it's the same thing also as our cell in our body. This is the structure. And so when you roll the eggs over the body, the body emits, or the egg absorb negative, what we call negative energy, energy that is access, what we call too much positive energy, positive ions. And so the egg absorbs that energy within it, and it releases negative or emotional blocks and physical blocks into the eggs. And sometimes the eggs explode from or sometimes it flies in the air. It's kind of amazing.
And what is it, a raw egg or cooked?
It's a raw egg. It's better to use brown egg because brown egg's shell are stronger than white. And
yeah,
so
you don't want the shell cracking when you're rolling it over somebody.
That's right. So I had a woman who came and she had a shoulder pain, and so I worked with the egg on it, and it exploded on her cashmere sweater, which was not nice. But I had a dancer who had an accident and he broke his elbow, and I worked with that eggs, and it releases the muscles, and the egg exploded, and the next day he started to dance again. So, it's great for headaches, it's great for migraines, it's great for when you have addictions. It draws a lot of fear out of a person's body, and sometimes you have to use more than one egg. Sometimes it's 12 eggs, 8 eggs to release, and the eggs become very heavy. So not just in the Andes, but in many other cultures, they use eggs and other techniques.
Okay. How long have you been using that technique?
21 years.
Oh, wow. In the beginning. Oh, cool. And as you mentioned, it's that's just like one. And so there are several kinds of techniques like this.
Yes. So there are physical physical tools, and then there's also spiritual tools like soul retrieval.
Right.
Or cord cutting ceremonies. And maybe the most amazing is depossession or removal of entities from people's body, and that something that I do luckily not too often because it's very difficult process to go through, but I've done that, and it's really include a lot of all the techniques, all the tools together. And I use a combination of the Andes techniques and the Amazonian techniques, so to remove these akuras or these evil spirit.
Okay. Let's pause there for a moment. I do want to get a little bit more into the sort of those spiritual tools when we come back after this break and really kind of delve into it a little bit. Ta says you're an awesome guy, and Laura Torado says, hey, it's Itzhak.
Oh, hi, Laura.
she's seeing later today for my tooth.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, she's a good friend of mine. So everybody, please stay
tuned.
Small
world.
Yes, a very small world. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking with Itzhak Beery, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com. Legalize the earth. Continue to
resist the passage of this necessary legislation. Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of the Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on the Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, talking all about shamanistic healing practice. Before we get into it, I want to talk about sort of the soul retrieval and the depossession kinds of stuff, because actually I just had a guest on last week who... She had experienced satanic ritual abuse, and like her parents had been in a cult, and so she's had to study a lot of healing techniques and really do a lot of things to kind of heal herself. And so a lot of it was about that depossession work. But before we get to that, I just want to ask you real quickly, was there a spark or an impetus for you to write this particular book? Was there something that you like either saw in society, or you just felt inspired, like, you know, this is a good book to write now?
Well, I thought it's a good book to write, but I think that there were a few I truly believe that we need to integrate both the Western medicine and the shamanic, what we call alternative medicine. I do believe that all alternative medicine is shamanic healing. I don't separate it, and the shamans don't separate it, because we work with all the modalities in those healings. So many of the shamans are very upset about the separation between Reiki and aromatherapy and crystal and all of that, because it's not separate. It's all one part of the human ability to heal using spirit and natural forces.
Gotcha.
Material. So I believe that the scientific revolution, or the medical revolution, that started in the Renaissance time, you know, and I went to Siena to see the first hospital that was built in 1540 or something like that. So all of that is pretty new. Mm-hmm. We are really experiencing separation between the human experience until the Renaissance and until today.
Right.
And we have a very short memory. We don't really remember that aspirin was actually invented less than 100 and something years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's all relatively new. You see, I actually don't like that we call sort of the stuff that you and I do as alternative, because this is actually more traditional medicine.
Exactly.
And this other stuff which people are used to is more modern medicine.
Yeah, so that's the name of my book too. It's Shamanic Healing, Traditional Medicine for the Modern Time.
Right.
So the idea was that I believe that we need to integrate it, because medical technology is good, it's useful, it's necessary, but it's the other part, the hard part. The human experience, the working with nature and spirit, are very important too. And I practice it also in hospitals, in hospices. Mm-hmm. And I go to my clients to hospitals to work with them. And sometimes with the encouragement of the establishment itself, I had one head of departments watching the door as I was working, doing ceremony to a woman who had a liver transplant. So I do that a lot. Not a lot, but I do it when I can in the hospitals, and I can see the amazing response that the body and the soul and the spirit, and we know that it's already corresponding to the healing of that person.
Right.
So, and there's another element of that. My best friend who in 2010 died out of cancer. And he was a great healer, feng shui and shamanic healer and Reiki, and he's just the most amazing person I knew. And he was also very stubborn, and he decided that he's not going to treat his tongue cancer by him with modern medicine. And he was fighting for a couple of years. And then he gave in. He passed away, and that broke my heart. I mean, there are some people on both sides that are very stubborn.
Yes,
the people from the Western medicine or the modern medicine that don't want to try anything, what we call natural medicine, mm-hmm. and there are people from the natural world medicine that don't want to go into hospitals.
Right.
And I think that mindset is totally destructive.
Right.
And I have in my book, I have so this book is really homage to my friend John Cook who died. You know, I went through similar experience too, but I chose to go and do both of those, to work with the shamans and to work with
modern
medicine. And I had operation, and I'm fine.
Mm.
I'm just so sad that he's not here with me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I don't want that to
happen.
Because
it was unnecessary.
It was totally unnecessary.
I mean, the tongue cancer, I assume it was at least diagnosed early enough that it's very treatable.
Oh, yes, but he did not want to have to go through all of it. And I dragged him into hospitals, and he refused to go, and he threatened not to see me if I continued to drag him. So in many ways, this book is about that, although I don't really mention that, but I think that it's also very important for us to understand that it doesn't make us holy or sacred, more sacred, for not using chemotherapy or the surgery that we can do to save our life.
Right.
At the end, life is the more important thing.
Right.
But on the other hand, people who only using medical technology today need to understand that there is a very important part about the heart, about changing energies, about the mind-body connection that actually help people to recover.
Right, absolutely. There's a Reiki healer who I think Raven. Do you know Raven Keys? I think her name is.
Yeah.
But she actually like had the opportunity to have like a Reiki clinic inside of a hospital, and then she herself got sick, and that her doctor allowed her to have her students Reiki healers like in the pre-surgery room and doing all, and she like he said he was amazed at how quickly she recovered.
Yeah.
Because of that support.
Yeah, and I, you know, when I work with cancer patient, I can see how the energy changes. I had a cancer patient who could not walk into my office, and she went back home. She walked 16 blocks by herself without help, and she didn't want to stop because her energy changed and her body got stronger.
Right.
So there is a great benefit of merging or marrying these two systems together. It's the, and right. That's really what the book is about, and explaining what shamanic healing is,
right.
How it became, and who can be a healer. What makes you a healer? How can you charge or not charge? Or in, all of those questions about becoming a shamanic healer. And I truly believe that we are all healers. We are all shamanic healers, all human beings.
Another, yeah.
There is no people who are not healers, because we all have the ability to touch and love and speak nicely to other people and give love to people.
Yeah, sometimes the most healing thing is just having that emotional and moral support from a dear friend who you know really cares about you. That relationship in and of itself can be tremendously healing.
Yes. And we are, all our DNA are built to use all our six senses, not just five.
Yes.
The ability of to use the six senses is a built-in, not just for this for us to dream. It's a way for us to communicate with spirit and with the universe to warn us about things that happen, to help us find what we lost, to help us find a prey or a game for eating. That's how we build.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's only humans that are built this way. I think that also animals have the sixth sense. And
Angela Sang says the timing of the show could not be more perfect. She's been guided to learn about shamanism to include in her own healing. She does something called diamond healing. So she wants to know when your next workshop is. We'll get to that next time. Do you talk in your book at all about sort of selecting a healer to work with? Because just as there are good doctors and bad doctors, there are good shaman and bad shaman in a way, aren't there?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, at the end, you know, it's what resonates with you, right. And you have to
And not really give up your own authority sometimes, right? Because especially, I mean, I see that my parents, you know, my mom and my parents' generation, the slightly older generation, that they tend to think that, like, the doctors are, like, the people of authority, and you just listen and you do whatever they say, and you kind of give away your personal power by doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's like coming into something and educating yourself and researching a little bit about what are the alternatives and what are the natural ways to support, you know, not necessarily completely excluding the doctor, but not just saying, making the doctor into a god that they know everything.
Well, I think that it's very important for the shaman himself to understand that people are coming to you because their soul spirit is asking them to do that. And so the first step is for the client or to want to come to heal. That's very important. So the commitment for healing has to come from the client, not from the shaman.
Right.
I don't care if you're not healed. That's your problem.
Interesting.
I'm not interested in your healing if you are not interested in your own healing.
Right.
You have to make a commitment for healing.
Right.
And then I will be a facilitator of that.
Right.
And I'll use all the tools and all the knowledge and all the intentions for you to heal. But you know, like Ipupiara, my teacher used to say that 60% of the healing is done by Pachamama, Mother Earth.
Right.
That's really the healer.
Right.
And 30% is done by the client himself, by his choice or her choice to come, to be there, to bring herself forward, and then 10% is done by the shaman,
right?
15% is our shaman.
Yeah, you know, the shaman, small percentage.
Yeah, so it really shows you that what's important is not your ego or if you want to heal other person. It's really important that the other person wants to heal. And when I have people, I tell them that, you know, this is the first session. This is what is available to you. But you have to, I'm not going to tell you to come back. You have to decide to come back.
Right.
You have to want to go through the trauma, the issues, to heal.
Right.
You will feel good, but it's not necessarily.
Maybe not in the process, but that'll be ultimately where you end up.
Yeah, so it gives back the responsibility for healing for the person who asks for healing.
Right.
Because it's sometimes the soul does not want to be. All soul wants to be healed, but sometimes the ego doesn't want to be healed.
All right. Let's hold it on that thought. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take the last break of the show. Time flies when I have such wonderful guests. When we come back, we'll just talk a little bit more about the intention behind the book, and you'll find out where you can see Itzhak next. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern to 1 p.m. My guest this hour is Itzhak Beery, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
Hello, this is Mark Torres.
And Pronto Comics own Dominic Sperano.
And listen to our show, It Came From the Radio, right here on talkradio.nyc, every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about entertainment, movies,
comic books, and other news.
So make sure you check us out. That's right here, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Wednesday, talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Itzhak, your book, Shamanic Healing, it's available where? Like on Amazon?
Wherever books are sold, you know, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places.
Wonderful. What's your intention behind the book, since we've been talking about intention so much this show?
I think to empower people to seek healing and to find their own healer within themselves. Not to be so like your parents' generation, to trust their doctor with their life,
mm-hmm.
And with that, also to be more flexible, to be able to use the Western modern technology together with the gifts of shamanism, the gift of healing that nature spirit gives us, and it's all there in that book, and I think that people can actually take them and manifest their in their life, exercise that.
Wonderful. Now, you've been doing this work 21 years. Have you seen a real shift in people's consciousness, just in the general, that, like, because there seems to be more and more of this kind of work. Are people really more open to it, or is it just we're more aware that people are open to it?
Well, I think in general, I think that people are much more aware. I mean, when I started over 20 years ago, there were very few teachers, and there were very few books actually about that. There is an explosion of books and lectures and workshops and teachings, and of course with the introduction of plant medicine, there is a new generation of people who are seeking shortcuts, and so there's a lot of that happening all around us, and it's beautiful. It's an amazing. I mean, this is what my teacher worked for, and this is what I work for, is to enlarge the gamut of activities of community. And, you know, we're talking about community. I think that it's very important. That's why the New York Shamanic Circle is for 20 years now. The idea is that you cannot have mental and physical health without community.
Oh, absolutely. This is one thing I've learned when I started sort of my own shamanic path 3 years ago, is I did not understand the importance of community until I actually found this community.
Yes, and in the shamanic healing, healing are not done individually for one person. It's always done in a family situation where people bring their relatives, people bring their loved ones to be witnessing of the shamanic healer, and that is really to support the person in going through the difficult times.
Right.
You know, I had a woman from the Ivory Coast who came with 7 people.
Wow.
And she was possessed, and they were witnessing that, and they helped her to depossess herself and to reclaim her power. That's what the power of community is so important. Mm-hmm. We need to be witnessing. We need to be those people who support. Without community, most of our diseases are physical, emotional, addiction. It come because of lack of community, because the feeling of separateness and loneliness, and I'm not important, nobody cares about me, and all that. So community is very, very important, and I encourage people to join our New York Shamanic Circle.
Where can they find it, just since we're mentioning it?
nyshamaniccircle.org.
Ah, nice and easy, nyshamaniccircle.org. And you've got a big event coming up in October, right?
Well, the New York Shamanic Circle is hosting our 19th annual New York Shamanic Gathering in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Save the date. It's on the Great Hill on 103rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a very beautiful, if it's not going to be too cold and too windy, it's about 300, 400 people coming.
Yeah.
We have different shamans from different places of the world coming, and we're doing celebration of nature and spirit. It's a chance for the community to come together. And
what's the date again? Do you know?
It's October 15th. So
if I'm here in New York City, I'm there. You know.
Oh, that, please come, yeah, please, absolutely. And you can bring your dogs, your cats, your children, your parrots. everything. It's a community day. You can come for an hour. You can come. We start at 12 o'clock. So you can come for an hour, for 2 hours, and stay the whole day. It's a beautiful, beautiful event.
Yeah. Wonderful. What do you hope people will take away, not just from this book, but from your other books as well? You know, you're really putting a lot of effort out, and you're really, you know, exposing what you know to the world. What are you really hoping that the world takes away from this?
I really hope that people will own that each of us is a shaman.
Hmm.
Each of us is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
And with that come the responsibility to heal each of us,
yeah,
and our families and our communities and the world. So the idea is that by recognizing your own power, you cannot just give it to the doctors, just give it to the Congress, to the president, to other people.
Right, right.
It is you have to own that, right. You are that healer, you are that leader, you are that person.
Right.
That a lot of people are they don't want to think about that. They don't right. want to. They don't want to
take
do that.
The responsibility.
But I think that it's very important for us to understand that each of us is a shaman. Each of us is a healer. There's no way out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important, that we are all shamans. That that's very important.
Yeah, Ta says, own it. Absolutely. Yeah, and I remember that was actually one of the first revelations I got in my first time I did a plant medicine journey 3 years ago. In the middle of the ceremony, it just kind of came to me, I guess the plant's talking to me, that I was a sort of a shaman in my own way. I just used different tools because I've been doing healing work for a number of years, and I do energy healing and coaching and really encouraging people. And it never really kind of clicked until I experienced this for myself, and then kind of spirit showed me. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you look at the shamanic language, all those other modalities, mm-hmm. they are all part of the shamanic work.
Right.
The difficult thing for me to understand, and for indigenous shamans, mm-hmm. is why do we want to separate them?
Right.
Why do we want to do diamond healing, quantum right. healing, yeah. aromatherapy, tapping? This right. all of those things is separating the complex well-being of a person.
Right.
It's not just one.
Right.
It's a whole system.
It's a whole. It's all and integrated.
So if you think about that every person that use natural elements, minerals and spirit and energy work, mm-hmm. is all shamans.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Real quickly, we just got a minute and a half to go. You have any classes coming up?
Yes,
you wanted to mention?
Actually, if some people wants to learn shamanic body work, mm-hmm. I'm teaching this weekend with Irma, also a member of the New York Shamanic Circle.
Okay.
Work with Takuma needles. Work with Aztec massage crystals. All kind of different techniques. And they can go to my website, itzhakbeery.com, itzhakbeery.com, and you can find out the information or send me an email and I'll send you the information. It's a beautiful workshop. We hardly ever do that.
Wow.
It's this Saturday and Sunday.
I have something Saturday. I would love.
No, you can take one day or two.
Oh,
yeah, so you
okay.
can choose. But it's a rare way of learning techniques that you can actually use. If you are a healer, you can use it in your practice.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Itzhak, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come in studio today. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
And always a pleasure. And
thank you for doing this work.
Any more books in the works?
I'm not supposed to talk about that.
So that's a yes. So we're going to have him back in the future with his next book. Let me switch around the camera here for a quick second. So I really want to thank all you guys for tuning in. Ty, you're wonderful. With tons of people. Franklin, Valerie, Angela, Alex, Callie, Ralph, Nicole, Amy. Thank you all for joining us on the Facebook live stream. Coming up next, our newest show, Off the Beaten Path with Oscar Nordstrom. And you probably want to stay tuned for this show on talkradio.nyc, because Oscar's going to have a real interesting show. He's invited the spirit of Albert Einstein to have a discussion with him on all kinds of stuff. So it'll be a fun one. And listen, guys, if anything we talked about in today's interview resonates with you, And you want to learn more, or you know something calls to you and you feel like there's something for you to learn here, get in contact with us. You can always reach me at sam@ddwc.com. for Double Diamond Wellness Center .nyc. Sam at ddwc.nyc. You can find out all about Itzhak on his website, itzhakbeery.com. Reach out, learn, empower yourselves, and have a great week. We will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.